Welcome everyone to episode 68 of 1 hour, one decision, 1H, 1D. I am Chris.
And I am Tom.
And we take 60 minutes and play a random game on Xbox Game Pass, sometimes selected by you folks out there. And we decide, do we want to get weird?
Like, how weird, Chris? Like, supernatural stuff in a Western, Chris?
Quite possibly. Quite possibly. So this episode, we're going to be talking about Weird West by Wolf Eye Studios.
Studios.
This game came out back in March of 2022.
Back in.
It's still not the present. It was the very end of March, but this game, I played it on the PC. It was a 12.32 gigabytes on the PC.
Ooh.
Tom, what about you?
Hey, 7.4 gigabytes on the Xbox.
Well done. Or zero.
That is correct. Now, I was not forced to play this on the cloud, but it was an option.
Yeah, which is pretty cool. Always cool to see that. And by the way, Wolf Eye Studios apparently is a bunch of people that worked on Dishonored and the Prey
series.
Sequel. Oh. Yeah. Some of the folks from there decided to form the studio and do this. So it was pretty cool. And as I mentioned last episode, this was a request by friend of the show, Wandering Dutch from the Midweek Mix-Up. So he's one that told us to try this game out. So we did. We tried it out. But what kind of game is this?
So we've got a disparity here. I wrote that it's a twin stick action RPG.
Okay.
But you have something very different.
I do. And you're not wrong, but I felt like this game was more of a tactical real-time adventure game. And why I say that is it's not an RPG. I don't think it's like really an RPG. I mean, you're not doing classes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Although I guess in a sense you are, but there's nothing, it's not turn-based, but like when you start, when you're in these, because the way that the game plays out is you're essentially in this like arena,
yeah,
for lack of a better
yeah
term.
Yeah. Right? The map.
And you are trying to figure out how to clear the map of all the bad guys.
Yeah.
So how do you do that? You can go guns blazing and fail horribly.
Right.
Or, you know, you have to know how to approach this particular situation. And that's why I thought it was a tactical real-time adventure game. Because there is a story. There's also a story. That's why I added the adventure part to it.
Yeah.
So that's why.
Yeah. Tactics matter here, for sure. Yeah. So I see your game loop. I think you've already kind of said it. Go ahead with this. What does it say here?
So I wrote, go into the arena, quote unquote, and shoot bad guys as bad guys and also complete objectives, which most of the time is just clearing the bad guys. But
okay. Yeah. I was like, are you implying that the objective is not to kill the bad guys?
Well, like, I don't know. We didn't get that far into it, but
that's fair. My game loop, a little bit different. See, because we approach this differently.
Yeah.
I wrote, live out your life as the protagonist in a Weird West tale while shooting and looting.
That's true. It's true. So this is one thing, because I was kind of like, I didn't realize, first of all, that the game, like as soon as you launch the game, it pretty much like takes you right into the game. This is like one of those things where I think Descenders did this kind of mm-hmm. thing where you were just like dropped right into the game. And you're like, whoa, what's going on? I'm like, okay. So that's, I don't know if there's different tracks or different characters that you can pick in the beginning of the game, because I played as the woman.
Yes.
Is that who you played as?
Likewise. As well? Yeah. I believe in my heart of hearts that it is linear in how it approaches the game.
Got it. Because like for some reason when I was looking at, we'll talk about it later, like how long the game is to beat and stuff like that, it seemed like there might be other characters or tracks that you can potentially do. I don't know if that was like selected in the beginning or whatnot, but you know, that's what I thought about. So yeah.
Well, it is time to start talking about what we like.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
What give me some things you liked about this game, Chris.
I thought, I mean, it leaned really into the name of the game, which was Weird West. It was definitely weird. And it was in a Western style story. As I kind of alluded to earlier, the game starts off as you're basically Jane Wick, not John Wick, but you're Jane Wick. You've given up your time being a bounty hunter, right? Yep, that's what she was. Yep. And then someone comes and screws up your life and you're like, it's time to, she literally digs up her stuff just like John Wick. Yep. And she's like, I'm ready to go, you know, crack some skulls. You know, it was a pretty heavy intro, to be honest.
Oh, like, yeah.
This was like, essentially like them killing the puppy. Instead of killing a puppy, they killed her kid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So and that was kidnapped like, her husband.
And kidnapped her husband, which I was like I was, which, you know, they subverted expectations.
Right.
Think that you're going to leave the kid and kill the husband, but no.
Yeah.
They're like, you're not allowed to have any loose ends here.
Because it's a supernatural tale. And the person who murders your son is all like, the kid is not, there's no meat on those bones.
Right.
We're bringing back the healthy man to feed this supernatural creature.
Right, exactly. They're essentially cannibals / zombies / vampires?
Yeah, it's a little bit of everything supernatural that you can put together, I guess.
Yeah. So it was very, very heavy. So I think I felt like already pretty engaged with the storyline and the characters and stuff like that. And I was like, oh, okay. And the writing was pretty good, you know, which is a stark contrast from Final Fantasy XIII, Lightning Returns. So that was important. What about you, Tom? What are some things that you liked about this?
Right from the get-go, I liked that I was given a lot of options in terms of how to customize the experience, not just in the, you know, easy, medium, hard kind of thing, but there were quite a suite of options in terms of how you're going to do the aiming and things like that that I didn't really mess with up front, but I appreciated that was all there. Mm-hmm. I also liked the world building. Like you mentioned, I liked the voiceover a lot. I liked the idea that it almost kind of was like a dungeon, master, setting the tone and like setting the setting for you.
Yes.
Like you are doing this and then this happened to you. And then, you know, all done in that second person, you know, talking to you as the character.
Yeah.
Lots of good, I thought the background characters and things, just the world building was good. Little dumb things like tumbleweeds rolling through in the background. Just really commits to the whole Western thing.
I mean, and what's more interesting also is the map or the arena is not that large, but they used it to its like to its potential. You know, like even though like I was like, okay, this is a small map, but I could still feel like, okay, I am in said area, like whether it's a canyon or this like dusty old town, like I get it. I was like, I was with it kind of thing. I don't know why this game reminded me a little bit of, I don't know if you've ever remember playing this game way back when. Freedom Fighters, Freedom Force.
Is that the superhero one?
It was a superhero one way back when. I think Freedom Pandemic, man. I think it was Freedom Force. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know. Maybe it's just because of the top down, the kind of stylistic way they did things with it, but. That's what kind of reminded me of. I like the camera was not fixed, but it was done pretty well. And then you could zoom in pretty well, and rotate it however you chose to do that. You mentioned something about, and I agree with you, the environments.
Yeah, I really enjoyed being able to use the environments to my advantage. Like you can do stealth kills, you can hide bodies in the bushes, you can explode barrels and things like that, and set fire to stuff and just really kind of take advantage, like you mentioned earlier, that it's a tactical, right?
Yeah.
You have this a group of men of enemies up here, you're outnumbered, right? Yeah. You're just one lady with her gun, and how are you going to take on these four or five guys without getting killed yourself? So it's like, I'm going to sneak up, I'm going to take some pot shots, try to drop a couple of guys before everybody starts coming at me.
Yeah.
So I can drop it down to a 3-on-1 instead of a 5-on-1,
Yeah. Yeah. And to your point about the shooting, I thought felt pretty good too. You know, the aiming, once you got the hang of it, aiming was like, oh, okay, I get it. And you know, like there was a satisfying thump to hit when you hit your target and stuff like that too, which was good.
Having played this on the PC, Chris, were you like using the mouse and keyboard to control the game, or was it a controller situation?
See, I played it on the controller. I did play it on the controller. Mostly because I was holding my child at the time. And I didn't want, I probably would have played, if I were to play this game, I probably would have used the mouse and keyboard, but,
yeah, just being being the top down kind of thing. And the, like I alluded to saying, calling it a twin stick is like that you're moving your character one way, but aiming and shooting another way. Like it lends itself to a mouse and keyboard, I would say.
Right. And that's a good point. I didn't actually even think about like running and shooting because it was just, you know, the friends for life thing. I thought that was interesting. I didn't get to utilize it, but I met two characters that gave me that ability. I don't know if you had gotten.
No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
So when you got to, I guess, essentially the camp where like, I don't know if you picked up that the side quest with the girl saying like, can you help find my husband?
Yes. I picked up that side quest. I did not find the husband.
You did not find the husband. Okay.
Maybe I just didn't get far enough. I don't know.
Yeah. Interesting. So I got to the point where I was at their camp, like this strangler or what are they called? Anyway, the big gang bad guy camp. I got there and there's the husband is locked up, and then he gives you like I think once you kill him, but once you free him, then there's another key that you get that takes you down to this trap door that gets you to this other area where like there's a bunch of other gang members. And there's a guy that's just laying there on the floor. He's like, can you help me? Like, he's one of the bad guys, but he's like, can you help me? They shot me. Like, I'm done with this gang. So like, it gave me the idea like, okay, is there going to be like a choice or like multiple endings kind of thing that kind of intrigued me. And I was like, all right, let me just give him a bandage and see what happens. And you heal him. And he's like, thank you so much. I really appreciate it. If you ever need help, I'll be there for you. And then like the game says like, this person has become a friend for life. So I think what happens is if you're like almost low on health, this person comes and like becomes like a summon essentially and comes and saves you in some way, shape or form. So I got him, and then there's another girl that I released that became a friend for life as well. But yeah, that was pretty cool. I don't know what'll happen, but it was interesting either way.
Yeah, I think this game does a good job. There are lots of moments for like player choice. You know,
yeah,
you can steal things, you can bury people. You know, there are a lot of dead bodies.
Yeah.
You can bury them. There's a guy, you know, early on in the game where you need information. And you could try to do it the nice way, or you could try to do it the, like, I'm going to break all your fingers way. And
which way did you do it?
Break all his fingers.
Oh, yeah, that's what I did too. Yeah. Because it's like, this guy killed my kid. I'm breaking all his fingers.
Yeah. So I broke another one just for good measure, even after he was done talking.
Amazing.
But yeah, I think it was kind of cool how the game was laid out. Yeah. I also just quickly, I liked that, you know, you're talking about the arenas, but the arenas are not the whole game, right? There's an overworld map that you're traversing. Yeah. And so it's like, once you leave an arena, you kind of pop out to the overworld and then you select where you're going to go. Right. And while you're going to this other, you know, the next spot in the overworld, you can be waylaid, you know, by enemies in the same way that, you know, Baldur's Gate did this. Where it's like, I'm en route to whatever, and then like, oh, you know, bandits attack. And then you have to like go and do the bandit attack encounter. And then once you're done with that, then you could go keep going on your merry way.
Right. Right. That's so true. I guess if that's all you have, I'm gonna talk about things that we didn't like.
Oh yeah, go for it.
Which is that. I didn't like that at all.
No, yeah.
Because
I like that.
I mean, I don't know why. To me, I was like, why did they throw in a JRPG in the middle of all this? You know, you're running, you're walking by and, oh no, random encounter. It's like, okay, cool. I thought we were over it, you know, over that stuff, and everything was becoming more real time. I didn't, I, maybe if the enemies that you were encountering were interesting, so maybe they do, but like the ones that I've encountered so far were just like coyotes that are like chasing after you.
Yeah. So, well, I mean, we're beginning of the game, right?
Yeah, exactly. And at the same time, I guess it's a good opportunity for you to get better at the shooting mechanics.
Yeah, coyotes don't shoot back.
No, they don't. They run at you, but they don't shoot back. Which I will say, even though the shooting did feel good, I still felt like some of the controls were unwieldy. Like, switching between weapons, like I know I screwed up a lot of times during my playthrough where I wanted to use a knife, mm-hmm. and then I ended up like being on a gun that I didn't have any ammo on. So I was just like click, 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 no ammo. I was like, oh no. So this guy's just like taking shots at me constantly. It was pretty terrible. But I was also a little confused with the stealth mechanics too, mm-hmm. because like, I guess the rule set that the characters go through didn't make sense to me because the AI goes through because if you're near them, they can kind of sense you and they do all that, like the question marks and they sure. like raise their alarm. Right. But if you like blow something up or kill someone, like it didn't raise suspicion. I was playing this on story mode, so I don't know if they're just completely complete idiots in that mode. But you played this on normal, right? Yeah. So how were they in terms of awareness and things like that?
I died a lot. Like my dislike here, I died a bunch on normal difficulty, and to me, I know that there were harder difficulties. There are at least two harder difficulties, and I'm like, these must be impossible because I died a lot on normal. Maybe because I was approaching things a little too guns a blazing. I was trying to play a twin stick shooter.
Right.
And I was repeatedly told, no, you can't do that.
I just also ran out of ammo a lot. I mean, I know I'm a terrible shot, but I was like, good Lord. I was playing on easy. I had no ammo.
I did not run out of ammunition. And that kind of leads into something else here. There was a lot of loot everywhere. Like you could loot crates, you could loot barrels, you can go into houses and open up cabinets, and there's loot in the ground. There's caches in the thing. It's the bane of my existence because I'm going to pick up every single one of these things. And then what's going to happen, and it does happen, is your inventory gets full. And then I go, nah, I hate this game. Don't make me make choices.
And exactly. The thing that I was like, why would I need like 34 forks? But you can pick them up. You can pick up all the forks in the game. Is there any point in that?
Probably not. You can sell them.
I mean, you can, but it's like, who really wants 34 forks?
I'll tell you, spoilers, not a whole lot of anybody, because like it shows you the value of what the thing is worth. And it's like, oh, a fork is worth $8 or whatever it is, right? And it's like, man, I'm going to be rich. And then you go to try to sell them and they're like giving you less than a quarter of what it's worth. And I'm like,
what a waste.
Yeah.
What
I'm like, how do I charm these people into giving me MSRP for these items that I've looted?
Yeah. I mean, and I will just double down with you about the game being hard. Like I said, story mode was hard. Like story, like difficulty was still pretty hard. They were pretty relentless in chasing after you.
I did a lot of running away.
it was pretty crazy. Anything else you wanted to bring up about things that you didn't like?
You liked the shooting, or at least it sounds like you did.
It was okay.
I had real trouble with the aiming. It was really floaty for me. Like I couldn't hit who I wanted to hit. Like I'm grazing around. Trying to select on the wheel, and I'm missing who I want to hit.
Yeah.
It made combat very hard for me. Like it was one of those kinds of things where like, if I was playing like a traditional like game, like Baldur's Gate or something like that, I would have paused the game, selected who I wanted to shoot, and then like unpause the game. And then I would have played very tactically. I would have approached the game differently, but because it was like all happening in real time, I'm like, I've got to play this like a shooter. And then I just was not hitting who I wanted to hit.
Yeah, like those firefights are definitely tense because you're just like, how do I? But I know, like when I first started the game, I think I had the same feeling as you. I cranked the sensitivity all the way down.
Yeah,
the aim sensitivity.
I think that's probably the way to fix it.
Yeah, and it felt better once I did that. I probably could crank it down a little bit more and probably get even better. But yeah, is there anything else you want to bring up though about this game?
I did not finish the first tale, but as you alluded to earlier, I'm pretty confident that this is an anthology. So you play as a character. There's some hints to this, you know, even in the first story where it's like you are embodying a like avatar, and this avatar in the first story is this woman with the son getting killed and the husband getting captured. But all the press for this game make it sound like you play a bunch of different characters as you play the game. So I'm pretty confident that you, the player, will embody a different character, you know, as the story continues. But there's continuity between all these stories in the, you know, some supernatural element is afoot.
Something weird is afoot.
Connecting all these things.
Yeah. Also, if you looked in the menu, your character menu, you could see shadows of other characters. So that's what I'm wondering, like, if you get to play in the beginning or yeah, like you said, like it just shifts to this other character.
Yeah, I think this lady's story finishes and then you move on to another character. Maybe she comes back later, you know, I'm not sure.
Okay. So regarding other notables, did you want to say something?
No. I was going to say you have some notables I'm curious about. I do.
So how long to beat says this game takes about 20 hours to beat, which is, you know, not terribly long.
No.
Like a weekend-ish game. And I think we already discussed this, but I thought that like because I saw the silhouettes of other characters, I was like, okay, is there multiple campaigns or is this one entire continuous story of some sort? Now I put because Xbox app, you got to fix this, but I put that this game does not have cloud saves, and I was like, what's going on? This is 2022, Xbox, and a game just got released, and there's no cloud saves. What gives? But Tom, you corrected me very quickly.
Yes, when I saw this note here, I had to bring to Chris's attention that I, on my dinosaur of a computer, was able to utilize the cloud and pull up the save that I had played on my Xbox One and load it up and resume playing the game on my computer using my save from the Xbox. So,
and I will confirm some developers like have a completely separate PC track from their console tracks that they would do something like that. But no, I was able to pull up under the Xbox app under cloud saves or cloud gaming. I was able to pull up my saves from my PC game and go about my day continuing my game. So yeah, so that was cool. And I wish that Xbox would just update the information on the game so that I don't look like a fool the next time.
So, I got your back.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. And speaking of cloud saves, you said you had a little bit of update for Riftbreaker.
Yeah, so all of these wonderful games that we've been playing, maybe not all of them, but a large number of them are available on the cloud. And I was able to pull them up and they run shockingly well. Like I couldn't believe how well they were running on my computer, which I again reiterate is a literal dinosaur. I was able to play Riftbreaker running off someone else's machine on my computer and pull up the, you know, the save that I had from playing that. And Weird West was there. It's crazy.
Did you get a chance to try Riftbreaker with the mouse and keyboard?
So here's the interesting thing. Mm. It will not, or at least the cloud won't, allow you to use anything other than an Xbox controller, at least the Xbox app. Yeah. So I am not able to use a mouse and keyboard. Wasn't able to do it for this. Now, I haven't tried taking the mouse and keyboard and shoving it into the Xbox. I guess that's the next thing to test.
Yeah. Okay, cool. That's good to know. And I guess we need to talk about if we're playing Weird West now. Are we going to keep playing this game, Tom?
Well, I'll tell you what. I definitely think I will come back to this. But I think I need to maybe play it on story mode because I was getting kind of frustrated with the normal difficulty. Right. And I definitely did mess with that sensitivity, probably mess with some other game options. You know, as out of the gate here, I was like, oh, I'm so excited. There's so many options. And then I didn't really mess with any of them. And it definitely sounds like I need to.
Right. I do want to reiterate also that it was cool that you can change those like difficulty settings on the fly. It's not like you're stuck to that difficulty. So that's great. That's a great little feature too. For me, this game was definitely weird and definitely tough, but if it's really only 20 hours, I think I'll keep playing it.
I think I want to at least finish this woman's story and see how that like, okay. So like how does that transition to the next character? What's going on? Like, you know,
definitely a lot of intrigue. Definitely a lot of intrigue.
Sure. What are the big aha moments? You know, is it enough to grab me and want me to keep, you know, continuing?
Yeah. So those are our thoughts. Let us know what you think of this game. Follow us and say hello on Twitter at TC1H1D or shoot us an email at TC1H1D@outlook.com. Check out our streams on Twitch at twitch.tv/1H1D. And if you're watching this on YouTube, send us a comment down below and we promise to read and respond. 1H1D is part of the QTB network. And if you like gaming podcasts, be sure to check out Quit the Build, a weekly gaming news podcast. Or to see the whole lineup, check out quitthebuild.com/network. We're on there.
That's right. You and me. Yes.
Speaking of you and me, we need to find out what we're playing next, don't we?
That's right. We must give back control to the Xbox Game Pass Surprise Me button.
Even though the Xbox app has let me down, but that's okay. Hopefully it'll not let me down with this next game.
I hope it's not a sequel.
Same here. So, Surprise Me Up button, tell us what we're playing next.
It's like shaking a magic eight ball.
Ooh, okay. Art of Rally.
Sounds like a racing game.
It is a racing game. It's a quirky little racing game, it looks like. I heard a lot of people seem to like this game, too. So that's what we're going to be playing next, Art of Rally. And, you know, if you have any suggestions for us, too, that we haven't played and it's on Game Pass, let us know. But thank you so much, everyone, for tuning in, and we will talk to you on the next one.
Thanks, everybody.